Psalms 90, verse 13, through Psalms 92, verse 5. Return, O Yahweh, how long? O be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. Reveal your work to your servants, and your splendor to their children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh, our Elohim, be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. O confirm the work of our hands. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High, who abides under the shadow of the Almighty. Welcome to His Word Heals, where we're learning to live, pray, and study in agreement with His Word. You can also visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com and download for free Kindle editions of both of our books and a free MP3 of our Healing Scriptures CD set to music. This program is airing on both Hebrew Nation Radio and as a video on Messianic Lamb Radio's YouTube channel, which is called Lamb Network. So if you're listening on Hebrew Nation, you can also go on over to Messianic Lamb Radio's Lamb Network channel and watch it as a video with slides and scriptures and pictures. So thank you for listening today. I sure appreciate it. On today's program, we're going to take a look at signs in the heavens. First, we'll review a lot of the signs that have been taking place since 2014-2015. We'll review some of the material that Mark Biltz of El Shaddai Ministries has provided. And if you aren't familiar with that, please go to his website at www.elshaddaiministries.us. And if you have the opportunity, also please support that ministry, as most all of their resources and videos are online for free. After we review a few things, then we will go into signs in the heavens that are coming up in the next 10 to 15 years that no one has talked about yet, and I think you'll find them very interesting. Also, we want to start out by taking a look at how long is a generation. And so I'm going to play a short video clip from one of Mark Biltz's presentations where he goes over what is a generation and how all of the definitions of a generation in Scripture point to 2017-2018 being the end of these generation lengths. However, I think you'll be really surprised by one more that is not covered there. But first, let's watch Mark Biltz.
Okay, now listen to Matthew 24. What else does it say? From verse 32 and 34, learn a lesson from the fig tree, this parable. When the branch is tender and put forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things, you know that it's near. It is at the doors, the birth pangs. Mama knows when the baby's at the door, okay? They know from the pain, and it gets worse and worse and more intense. And he says, most certainly, I tell you, this generation is not going to pass all these things accomplished. Okay. So, let's go back. You know, here we all know, who is the fig tree? Israel's the fig tree. All right, so now I want to talk to you about how long is a generation, and in one sense, why it doesn't matter anymore. You ready for this? Okay. In the days of Noah, it says, so will it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man, right? For him, a generation was 120 years. Genesis 6:3, it says, his days will be 120 years. Do you know what happened 120 years ago? 120 years ago was the first Zionist Congress, called by Theodor Herzl, all right? And it was supposed to be held in Munich, but it said it was held in Basel, Switzerland. And guess what? It says that it was held on August 29th, 1897, 120 years ago. That was the first of a lull. Very important. Well, what if the Bible says the generation is 100 years? Because in Genesis 15, 13 through 16, Abraham was told, his seed would be 400 years, and then in the fourth generation they'd come back. So that tells you it's 100 years. Well, guess what? 100 years ago was the Balfour Declaration on November 2nd of 1917. Remember, it's all tied to Noah's flood? Well, do you know what? November 2nd, 1917 was the 17th of Heshvan, the same day Noah's flood began. Are you seeing the connections that I'm making here? I am not making these things up. It says in Genesis 7:11, it was in the second month, the 17th day of the month, that the fountains of the deep were opened. Right there. Okay, well, what do people say? No, the Bible, it talks about 70 years. 70 years is the generation. And that comes from Psalms 90, verse 10. The days of our year are 70. See, it's a 70 is a generation. Hello, well, Israel became a nation 70 years ago. Okay? Based on the UN Assembly 181. Well, what about a jubilee? What if 50 years is a generation? Well, guess what? 50 years ago, Jerusalem was put back in Israel's hands. Do you realize this year, we are fulfilling the 120, the 50, the 100, the 70. I don't care how long a generation is, they're all being fulfilled this year. We are the one end of the 120. We are the end of the 100. We are the end of the 70. We are the end of the 50. What's interesting about the 70, I want to read this. This is from Jewish sources. Now, we talked about 70 is the fullness, right? Speaking of fullness, this is, I mean, the 7, the Shemitah year, and here's 70. From Jewish sources, it says the number 70 is critical in the turning points of history. After the flood, it was 70 nations descended from Noah. 70 languages emerged out of the building of the Tower of Babel. The Jewish nation begins with 70 people who came with Jacob to Egypt. And in the world to come, 70 prime nations will all recognize God as one as they come to Sukkot. In Psalms 20, there are 70 Hebrew words, they say, that correspond to the 70 years of the travail and suffering of the Messiah, referred to the classic text as birth pains, that the Jewish people will have to experience before Messiah comes and redeems us. Well, guess what? We're at the end of the 70 years.
Okay, very interesting, as Mark Biltz would say. He has made a compelling case that all of the generation lengths described in the Bible that would not pass away before all these things be fulfilled culminate in 2017-2018. But there is one that was missing there that I want to talk about today. So it's found in Psalms 90 as well. So I'm going to go ahead and start from Psalms 90 verse 1 and make a few notes as we go down. Yahweh, you have been our refuge in all generations. So the first verse is talking about all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you had brought forth the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are El. Again, speaking of all time. You turn man back to dust and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your eyes are like yesterday that has passed. This, of course, is the verse that Peter is referring to in the New Testament, where he talks about 1,000 years being as a day to Yahweh, and a day being as 1,000 years, or like a watch in the night. You have swept them away, they are as a sleep, like grass that springs up in the morning it flourishes and springs up, at evening it is cut down and withered, for we have been consumed by your displeasure, and by your wrath we are alarmed. You have set our crookednesses before you, our secret sin in the light of your face. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We spend our years like a whisper. The days of our lives are 70 years. There we go. There's the 70-year generation. It's interesting, I think, that it is also found in Psalm 90, along with telling us how long 1,000 years is to Yahweh as a day. And so we are at the end of 6,000 years, which would be the 6 days of a week, and the 7,000 year that we're heading into would be the Sabbath millennium, and of course, that would be the day of Yahweh when Yeshua will come to rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years. So it is interesting that the notation that a day is as 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as a day is in the same chapter as the days of our lives are 70 years, speaking of a generation. It goes on to say, however, or if due to strength, 80 years. And the 80 years is what we're going to focus on today, because I think that it is no mistake that it is in there, of course. After the 70-year generation that will not pass away before these things come to pass, there are 10 more years if due to strength. It will certainly take strength to make it through the 10 years after the 70 years if this is leading up to the millennial kingdom, if this is the last 10 years during which the 7-year tribulation actually takes place, which I think it is. And when we look at the signs in the heavens that are coming up these next 10 years, and then as well the next 4 to 5 years after that, I think you might see where I'm going here and that this is a very real possibility. So let's continue on. Psalm 90, verse 10. The days of our lives are 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet the best of them is but toil and exertion, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Interesting. Who knows the power of your displeasure and your wrath according to the fear of you? Teach us to number our days. Is that what Psalm 90 is doing? Is trying to teach us to number our days, to number the 7,000 years since creation that is the plan of Yahweh, with the last 1,000 years being his day, being the millennial kingdom of Yeshua on earth when he'll rule and reign. And let us bring the heart to wisdom. Return, O Yahweh, how long? I think there is a second witness that that is what Psalm 90 is indeed trying to tell us in this last generation. And be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving commitment, and let us sing for joy all our days. Give us joy according to the days you have afflicted us, the years we have seen evil. We have seen evil for 6,000 years since the fall of man. The 7,000 year is when evil will be put in chains for 1,000 years. Reveal your work to your servants and your splendor to their children. That's what the millennial kingdom is all about. He's going to reveal his work to us and his splendor to our children. And let the pleasantness of Yahweh our Elohim be upon us, and confirm the work of our hands for us. Oh, confirm the work of our hands. Genesis 1:14. And Elohim said, let the lights come to be in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and appointed times and for days and years. We're going to look at this verse a little more closely.
Okay, here in our interlinear scripture analyzer, we can take a look at the Hebrew words behind the English words of this verse. Genesis 1:14. And Elohim said, let the luminaries come to be in the atmosphere of the heavens to separate between the day and the night, that they may be for signs, for appointed seasons, for days and years. So let's look at the word behind appointments. That would be H4150. In our lexicon, that is moed or moedim, and it's properly an appointment, a fixed time, a season, specifically a festival, conventionally a year, by implication an assembly. Okay, so for our appointments would be the festivals, the feasts. So the stars, the moon, the sun are in the sky to help us know Yahweh's appointed times. Now let's look at the signs. H226 is literally or figuratively a signal, as a flag, beacon, monument, omen, prodigy, evidence, etc. So the sun, moon, and stars are also put in the heavens. We're supposed to watch them. We're supposed to look for them to be signals, flags, beacons, evidence, omens. So let's keep this in mind. That's what the hosts of the heavens are for, to mark his appointments and to give us signs of the times that we're in.
We're just going to briefly review the blood moon tetrads that Mark Biltz taught us about, that I'm sure you're all familiar with. 1949 to 50 and 50 had blood moons on Passover and Sukkot. In 1948, and then again Passover and Sukkot in 1949. Israel became a nation May of 1948 and was admitted to the United Nations in May of 1949. In 1967-68, again on Passover and Sukkot 2 years in a row, there was the Six-Day War in Jerusalem, and Jerusalem was united in June of 1964. Then in 2014 and 2015, very recently, again on Passover and Sukkot, 2 years in a row, seemingly nothing significant happened. However, it seems as though the first two tetrads listed above were marking events that took place before or during the first year of the two-year tetrads, but the 2014-2015 tetrad seems to be marking something to come, giving us a heads up rather than pointing back. And as Mark Biltz put it, if a train is coming, you don't want it to blow the whistle just before it runs you over. You want it to blow it a little bit ahead of time to give you a warning to get out of the way. And so I agree. I think that these tetrads in 2014 and 2015, these blood moons, were a warning, as Mark Biltz says, of things to come, things that we should be looking for. And so that's what we're going to do today, is look for more signs in the heavens. Here are some more significant blood moons. that Mark Biltz also told us about, January 31st, 2018 and January 21st, 2019, both on Tu B'Shevat, which is the anniversary of the trees on the biblical calendar. They hint at the prophecy of the horses and riders among the myrtle trees in Zechariah 1, according to Mark Biltz, and mark the first and second anniversaries of Donald Trump's presidency as well. So that's quite interesting. In 2018-2019 is the second year of his presidency, which corresponds with the prophecies given during and regarding the second year of King Darius, as recorded in Zechariah chapters 1 through 6 and the entire book of Haggai. And that teaching was from us here at His Word Heals. Just a few weeks back, we did a whole series on the correlation between King Darius's second year and President Trump's second year. So if you haven't had a chance to listen to those programs, please visit our website at www.hiswordheals.com, where you can download them for free. I think you'll find it quite interesting what we discovered regarding as well the Jerusalem Embassy Act and King Cyrus' decree to rebuild the temple, both being 19 years from the corresponding moving of the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem and King Darius' strengthening of Cyrus' decree, restarting the building of the second temple after it had been stopped. So again, please download those archives at hiswordheals.com. But it is interesting that there was exactly 19 years almost to the day between King Cyrus' decree and the second year of King Darius, where he strengthened that decree and ultimately led to the building, to the completion of the temple 6 years later, or I'm sorry, 4 years later, after King Darius re-strengthened King Cyrus's decree 19 years after King Cyrus. And then the Jerusalem Embassy Act was actually signed for the first time in 1999, May of 1999, as the first postponement by President Clinton at the time. Then almost exactly 19 years later, in May of 2018, is when Donald Trump, in his second year of his presidency, strengthened that act by actually moving the embassy. So anyway, take a look at those programs for more information on that. Then President Trump was also born during a blood moon over Israel on June 14, 1946. And I found that discovery quite interesting as well. I heard that one on Kimberly Rogers' Beast Watch News, or Jerusalem Next program, and that just fit right in with everything else that we're going to be looking at. So I thought I'd mention that as well. Now we're going to look at the Great American Solar Eclipses that I'm sure you all are quite familiar with, at least the one that happened in 2017 I'm sure you're familiar with. But on June 8th, 1918, 100 years prior, there was a total solar eclipse with its path of totality over the entire U.S. from west to east again, just like in 2017. The United States also entered World War I in 1918, and the Balfour Declaration was made November 2, 1917. Plus, there were three blood moons in 1917. The first and last were both over the entire U.S., and the one in the middle was over Israel. Quite interesting. Then August 21, 2017 was the Great American total solar eclipse that we all saw over the entire U.S., west to east, marking the first of the biblical month of Elul, which is the beginning of the 40 days of repentance leading up to Yom Kippur. Now the next one is April 8th, 2024, 7 years after the 2017 Great American Eclipse. And this one also is over the entire U.S. with the path of totality from the Midwest to the Northeast on the biblical date of Nisan 1, beginning the new biblical year and the month of Passover. This comes from Mark Biltz's video on the subject of the two Great American Solar Eclipses. As you can see, the first one goes from northwest up in Oregon all the way through the U.S. and leaves the U.S. in the southeast in South Carolina. Then the one in 2024 goes from Texas up through Maine, and so they create an X, marks the spot basically, right at the bottom of Illinois. And here you can see the path of totality where it crosses at the bottom of Illinois is what I have circled in yellow there. If you put them over the top of each other, the yellow circle is basically right where the path of totality intersects. And we can read about this area of Illinois from Wikipedia, and this is also something that we learned from Pastor Mark Biltz. Southern Illinois is also known as Little Egypt, interestingly, and this is the southern third of the state of Illinois. In the 1830s, when poor harvests in the north of the state drove people to southern Illinois to buy grain, others say it was because the land of the great Mississippi and Ohio River valleys were like that of Egypt's Nile Delta. According to Hubbs, the nickname dates back to 1818, when a huge tract of land was purchased at the confluence of the rivers, and its developers named it Cairo. Today, the town of Cairo still stands on the peninsula where the Ohio River joins the Mississippi. And of course, we know there's a Cairo in Egypt, so they named it after an Egyptian city. Other principal cities include Alton, Centralia, Collinsville, Edwardsville, Marion, and Carbondale are the ones that I have highlighted in yellow because those are the ones that I have circled up there that are right on the intersection of the two paths of totality. So it's interesting that X marks the spot over Little Egypt in the United States. Psalm 90 verse 10 again, the days of our lives are 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years. Yet the best of them is but toil and exertion, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. If 2018 is the 70-year generation after Israel became a nation in 1948, then 2028 would be the end of the 80 years if due to strength generation. And it will take strength, his, to make it through the last 10 years leading up to the millennial kingdom. The April 8, 2024 total solar eclipse over the U.S. happened 7 years after the 2017 Great American Eclipse and about 3.5 years before the 2027-2028 end of the last 10 years of the 80 if due to strength generation. Interesting. So, are there any other heavenly signs during these last 10 years of the 80 that may give us a clue if this truly is the last 10 years before the millennial kingdom? Signs in the heavens since the 2017 eclipse through 2019. So again, January 31st, 2018, Shavuot 15 or Tu B'Shavuot, the anniversary of the trees over most of the U.S. and all of Asia. July 27, 2018, Av 15 or Tu B'Av, month of both temples' destruction and the end of dying in the desert over Israel, all Europe, Asia, and Africa. Then January 21st, 2019, Shavuot 15 again, the anniversary of the trees. We just had this one a month ago or so. Over all of the North and South America, all of Europe, and most of Africa. Again, see Mark Biltz's teachings on these Tu B'Shavuot blood moons on YouTube. Okay, first let's look at the blood moons coming up 2020 through 2024, which again is the second great American solar eclipse. There are only three blood moons between now and then. And on these maps, you can see where the totality will be seen, and that would be inside the red arch. So if you go from red arch to red arch on the inside or underside of the red arch, we'll all see the blood moon, the total lunar eclipse. And so we've got one on 5/26/21 or Sivan 15. Which marks the birth and death of Judah, and this lunar eclipse will be seen over the western U.S. and eastern Asia. Then on May 16, 2022, or Iyar 15, which is the second Passover, all of the U.S., western Europe, and most of Africa will see this total blood moon. And of course, the second Passover again is for those to celebrate who were unclean on the first Passover. And that is when this blood moon will be seen in 2022. Then in November 8th, 2022 as well, or Heshvan 14, which is when Jeroboam made the imitation festival, was on Heshvan 15. The total blood moon will be seen over the western U.S. and eastern Asia.